Henry, touchdown.
The scramble is another run, I guess. So, yeah, every play's a run.
They ran 13. You and I have seen a lot of football. 13 plays, 13 runs. What, they exhumed Woody Hayes?
It sure seemed like that.
Well, they always talk, you know, a game like this, a chess match, it's a cliche. I mean, but if this is a chess match, two grand masters.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? Mm. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motion. Yeah.
Will this year be different? That is how last year ended. This year begins today with Patrick Queen, the first official player to show up during the official media viewing window at training camp to St. Vincent College and Latrobe. Austin Bechtold in for the guys, Pomp and Joe. On Pomp and Joe, Sean Myers is producing Behind the Glass. One of the biggest weaknesses late in the season for the Steelers was run defense, especially the defensive line. They needed to add to the defensive line in significant aspects. They drafted two guys, Derek Harmon in the first round. They drafted Y.A. Black from Iowa in the middle rounds as well, because that was their weakest position on the defensive side of the ball last year, and it was exposed. Patrick Queen was not great in run gaps. Landon Roberts played pretty well, but it wasn't enough. They were not able to manipulate and shift well enough on the defensive line to combat the Ravens, who frankly just pushed them around. That's how last season ended. This season begins with questions around Keanu Benton. What will he be? And how ultimately will Derek Harmon play? But that's not the weakest position on defense this year. It just has to be safety. We talked about Juan Thornhill, and ultimately, if he will be the starter at safety, or if they will add somebody at Minkah's old spot. Quindell Johnson, a safety from Memphis, going into his second season. He is only played a short amount of time last year with the Rams, got into one game. He is currently the backup, according to ESPN's depth charts, behind Juan Thornhill, with Deshaun Elliott being backed up by Miles Kilbrew, and it's Sebastian Castro, who also factors in as the extra rotating corner. So that answers that question, Sean.
For now, at least.
For now, at least. That's who we know is there. That doesn't mean that they're going to be able to answer the bell when called upon. The strongest part of the defense is clearly at linebacker. TJ Watt's back. Alex Highsmith's back. They have the best depth in a very long time at outside linebacker, with the likes of Nick Herbig and Jack Sawyer being drafted in the fourth round, who I thought was a really good pick, good value at the time. Sawyer's a good player. He's a strong guy. I met him in person. Big dude.
He was one of the most touted high school recruits in the country. I mean, he had a good but maybe not great career at Ohio State. Obviously had some shining moments, but I do think he's a guy that'll probably turn out to be a pretty good draft pick for the Steelers. Even if he doesn't play a lot right away, I think we're going to see his talent when he gets that opportunity.
Yeah, I'm excited to see ultimately how he factors into the fold. But the weakness on defense, safety, might end up being something that could hurt the secondary. Does Ramsey switch into a position where he plays some nickel and he factors in defensively, not just as an outside corner? Or is Darius Slay and Joey Porter Jr. your two outside guys, and you'll allow Ramsey to move around a little bit? What does that mean for Deshaun Elliott and where he ultimately has to play? Those are big questions that I have. The weakness on the offensive side of the ball, wide receiver is obviously glaring. With nobody else, Calvin Austin is not that defined as a wide receiver. What is Calvin Austin? Gadget guy, slot guy, solid season last year, took a step up, took a good leap, solid player, good returner, but is he somebody that you can consistently depend on? Can Aaron Rodgers depend on Calvin Austin across the middle? So that could open opportunities for Roman Wilson. Does Robert Woods have anything left in the tank? But I still think offensive line is significant. Where Troy Faltanu missed the full season. Broderick Jones has not played left tackle in the NFL. Mason McCormick was thrown into the fire. How does he respond in year two? Last year of Isaac Seumalo's contract. Zach Frazier is the linchpin to all of this. He is an all-pro in the making, I think, and has stabilized part of the offensive line with questions mounting in a lot of different areas. The strongest position on offense, is it tight end?
Yes.
Like, I kind of find a hard spot to find the second strongest outside of tight end. Like, what is the second strongest position group? Is it running back? Is it quarterback? I'd say it's probably quarterback. We don't know what Caleb Johnson is yet. Jaylen Warren as the featured back. What is he? He's been a 50-50 guy with Najee Harris. I like Warren. I'm glad he's the starter. They made the right decision moving off of Najee and having Jaylen Warren be the starter. Tight end with Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith should be able to allow you to run a lot of 12 personnel and run a lot of Smith out wide or even in the slot with Freiermuth in close to the line. But their strengths, other than linebacker, are not that strong. And their weaknesses are not the worst in the NFL, but their wide receiver room, outside of Metcalf, that's bottom five, at least bottom 10. Safety, they're right in that same range.
I think you can cheat a little bit here because you separate receivers from tight ends, correct?
Yes.
Even though they're really both just pass catchers. Could you then break the offensive line into the tackles and the interior linemen? Because I would think the interior line would probably be considered a pretty good strength.
No doubt.
Now, the offensive tackles, not so much. That's very much unproven and at this point probably a weakness. But I think if you look at it, like the three interior guys are a little separate because there are some pretty distinct differences between inside and out. I would say the interior of the offensive line should be a strength.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. 412-928-9370. Time for you to state your case on the first day of camp. Rob in West Mifflin starts us off. Rob, happy first day of football, Rob. Are you pumped up, Rob? Are you excited? Are you getting those first day jitters, Rob?
Not like you, man. I mean, you said you took a shower this morning, man. I almost fell out the chair when you said that, man.
Well, you know, Rob, usually I take a shower at night, but today I was like, you know what? I'm pumped for the day. I'm ready to go. Let's roll.
You got to take one twice a day, city limits. It's 90 degrees out here, buddy. But this is simple, man. It comes down to two things, man. It comes down to two things. And if anybody out there listening ever played football, it comes down to two things. Offensive line and defensive line. That's it. I'm just going to keep it small. Keep it simple. If they can get their offensive line together, they'll have a good season and keep Aaron Rodgers clean, run the ball. And if the defensive line can get those young guys to come in and play and Cam Hayward stay out, it's simple. That's what it comes down to. If that can happen on the defense, everything behind you on every other level makes their job easier. The linebacker's job get easier, the secondary's job get easier. Because that's what it basically comes down to me, man. There's the offensive line and the defense line. The fundamentals of football, the things you learn about when you first start playing the game. You win games up front. And that's it, man. I'm just going to keep it simple. If those two things happen, the Steelers can win. I'll say 11-6. I'm not going to say 12-5. But I'll say 12-5. You know why? Because every other year, I'm not wishing it happens. Every other year, Joe Burrow gets hurt, man. I'm just saying.
Man, he stayed healthy last year, too.
Yeah, and anything can happen, man. I don't wish nothing, no injury on anybody. But that, you know, but that's what it comes down to, city limits. Offensive line and defensive line.
Yeah, and Rob, those are the main areas, and I appreciate the call, that last year they got beaten up in the most. Like, Kansas City, Chris Jones pushed their offensive line around like it was a high school offensive line. Like, Chris Jones was like that five-star recruit that goes up, that's in, like, a double-A school that's pushing around Brentwood.
Like Derrick Henry going against, like, defensive linemen that are probably 50 pounds lighter than him when he was in high school.
Yes, and he's stiff-arming guys that are, you know, the sixth man off the bench on the basketball team and just completely going out there and dominating. That's what Chris Jones made them look like. That's what Derrick Henry and the Ravens offensive line made the defensive line look like. And they've made some additions, and they've changed some things up, and another year of development and another year under their belt for guys like Broderick Jones, Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick, plus you get Faltanu back. there's reason for optimism, but there's reason for some speculation that it can happen. Until you ultimately see it, you can't get ultimately too confident. How confident is John in Wexford? He's on the Fan. What's up, John?
Yeah, I'm not. Mike Tomlin's still the head coach of this team. I mean, the reality is they're a 9-win team, maybe a 10-win team. And the caller before me, he's right. Offensive line play, defensive line play dictates a lot. That's why the Eagles are so good. That's why they want to eliminate the push, because they run that play to perfection and it can't be stopped because they do so well. And that play shouldn't be eliminated, by the way.
I agree.
The real key is Rodgers, okay? Quarterback play will dictate a great deal. I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into it at this stage. This is his last year. I think he's made it pretty clear. Who knows what he's got left in the tank. They have improved the roster. They've definitely given him some more weapons. We'll see how the defensive line looks. Hopefully Jalen Ramsey can channel play from his, you know, last 3, 4, 5 years and give them some sort of support on the backside in terms of the passing and defending the pass. But 9 wins, 10 wins max, and probably another playoff loss.
All right, John, appreciate it. It all comes down to the quarterback. Like, at the end of the day, we can say how much it matters for the defense, how much it matters for the offensive line. However well Aaron Rodgers plays is going to be the catalyst for this team. Now, he's also not somebody that can put a team on his back anymore. He cannot say, hop on, I'll take you to the playoffs and I'll take you to a playoff win. That is not realistic for Aaron Rodgers at 41 anymore. But with a situation with good protection, with a scheme that is catered to a lot of his strengths, and with a solid running game, Aaron Rodgers can still be a solid quarterback, I believe. Now, if those things all break down, the season will break down, the team will break down, there will probably end up being issues with, like, if they don't win, what's Jalen Ramsey going to say? How much chirping is going to go on with Ramsey? He seemed like he fell out of favor in Miami because he didn't like the coach, and they weren't winning, and he didn't want to be there anymore. What is Rodgers, if the Steelers go on like a 2 or 3 game losing streak, going to say on the McAfee show about the Steelers? Like, that is...
Have we heard, is he going to be doing that again?
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I would... Also, with Ramsey, you mentioned that he wasn't happy with how things went with the Dolphins. It's not like they were terrible. I mean, they weren't good.
But they weren't very good.
But, I mean...
They lost Tua for a large portion of the season.
They were kind of around the same caliber of team that the Steelers were, I feel like.
Similar. The Steelers' roster is better. The Steelers have better structure. The Steelers also play in a better division. But I think ultimately, you know, Miami has had their issues. Tyreek Hill, Ramsey, the coach is a little quirky. Tua can't play in cold weather. There were a lot of things for Miami that makes you think that they're kind of a worse team in a worse situation. But Ramsey, I mean, he's not George Pickens in any regard. He's a much more accomplished player, but he's also a flamboyant player, and he's somebody that will make his feelings known. And Aaron Rodgers is in a similar boat. And if the season starts to go off the rails, I think part of it could be, obviously a lot of it is how Aaron Rodgers plays, but also how Aaron Rodgers reacts to it that can further hurt and further add water to a sinking ship. Here is George. George is in Ohio. What's going on, George?
Well, just wanted to talk about an ingredient, which you've already mentioned a couple of times, but not too much this morning. But I still think the offense has, besides Tomlin's presence over everything, I don't think Arthur Smith respects the talent he coaches.
What talent in particular are you talking about, George?
Well, I want to go back to last year and the quarterbacks. I don't think either quarterback was given a chance to use their talent to their best ability.
You think that they put handcuffs on them?
Yes, the whole season. And I think that's why Justin Fields didn't want to sign. I think Arthur Smith and he probably, I don't know if they got along, but I think I'll be curious, and I think one of the ingredients, because for the offensive line to feel confident, they have to feel that people like Aaron Rodgers, who personally I don't like, but he's a talented guy, has to feel like he's running that offense, and his offensive line has to feel that he's the general and not the coach, and that he can work to his strengths. Now, and, you know, I mean, Tomlin is too conservative on everything he does. He's too controlling. I think Arthur Smith is similar in that, and they want to do it their way. And I think you got to work with talent. I mean, this is a talent. I mean, sports is based on talent.
Yeah, and I think, so George, I think that ultimately they're going to end up catering a lot more to Aaron Rodgers than those other guys, and I appreciate the call, partly due to the fact that Aaron Rodgers had them basically feet to the fire. Like, Aaron Rodgers had so much of the leverage in this situation where the Steelers, if they truly wanted Justin Fields, they would have said, all right, Justin, here's the money that you want. You wanted X amount of money guaranteed. We believe in you. Why don't you come here? So supposedly, according to Schefter and a couple others, it was Fields and it was Matthew Stafford that were choice one and choice two before Aaron Rodgers was the third option. I don't necessarily believe that. If Justin Fields was the true option for them, they would have paid Justin Fields to be the quarterback. If they were in love with Justin Fields, they would have given him a ring and kept him for another year.
They didn't even play him at all down the stretch last season.
Right, they benched him for Russell Wilson. If they were so enamored with Justin Fields, they would have kept him. They would have played him. They would have benched Russell Wilson, and they would have went to Fields late in the season. Whether it was the playoff game, the Cincinnati game, after it was clear that Wilson just did not have it anymore. So don't give me this whole, well, they really like Justin Fields, but they just had to let him go. Now, if they wanted to keep him, they would have. They would have done what was necessary. Matthew Stafford, you obviously need somebody on the other side to agree to the trade. And it seemed like Stafford ultimately didn't want to leave. The Rams didn't want to get rid of him. They wanted to rekindle that, and they were able to with a new contract. So they are all in on Aaron Rodgers. And I think that in part to that, they are going to let Aaron. Now, they didn't cater to him as much as the Jets did, bring in your own coordinator, bring in your own receivers, basically having a full sail say of what happened on offense. Probably had something to say about Robert Saleh being fired. I'm sure that's also part of this as well. So Aaron Rodgers is going to have some control. They're going to run some of his plays. He's going to be able to make checks at the line. I don't believe otherwise. Sure, Ben at the end of his career and Russell Wilson were not allowed to do that. The Ben argument I get. Russell Wilson, he just really didn't have it much anymore. And I feel like Aaron Rodgers is much more of a more accomplished player, more of a polarizing player, and still has more left in the tank than Russell Wilson did. And I think that factors all into it. Here's Chris in Uniontown. What's up, Chris?
I disagree with all of y'all. The Steelers are going to the Super Bowl this year.
Super Bowl, Chris. Why is that? Why did you book the tickets yet? And if you haven't, can I sit next to you, Chris? Can I sit next to you at the Super Bowl?
No, they're going to Super Bowl this year because Aaron Rodgers retired. The defense is much better. All they need is maybe one more wide receiver. Maybe. It depends. But they're going to the Super Bowl. Remember, Christian Uniontown.